So she had a beautiful face and a beautiful mind. But there was more to the equation of being a person than a face, a body, and a mind. There was that other thing called a psychology. Sam's psychological makeup was, well, complicated. When it came to schoolwork, Sam was all A's. When it came to picking boyfriends, she was all F's. I read her paper on Macbeth. It was good. Really good. She had style, and I thought maybe she should become a writer. I had the feeling that her life was going to provide her with plenty of material. So what do you think? She was smiling. She already knew her paper was good. Brilliant. Are you mocking me? She crossed her arms. Nope. And uncross your arms. She threw herself on my dad's reading chair. You're quiet today. Yeah. What's wrong? Who, me? There's nothing ever wrong with me, don't you know that? Now I know there's something really wrong. You've been a little different lately. Like there's something eating at you. Yeah, well, maybe I'm figuring a few things out. Like what? Like, I don't really want to go to college, for one thing. That's crazy. Can we not talk about college, please? I combed my hair with my fingers and started biting one of my fingernails. You haven't done that since fifth grade. What? Bite your nails. It's Mima, I said. What? Mima? Remember how she had cancer? Yeah, I remember. That was a long time ago, Sally. The cancer's back. It's metastasized. You know what that is? Of course I do. Of course you do. I tried to smile. Is it serious? Yeah, I think so. So what's going to happen? I guess we know how this is going to end. Dad's not optimistic. Oh, Sally. Shit, Sam. Hell, I don't know. Oh, she said. I get it. But I don't know. Ever since school started, you've been a little... I don't know. I don't know either. But now this thing with Mima. Ouch. Ouch, she said. All of a sudden, she was sitting right next to me on the couch. She took my hand. I know how much you love her, she whispered. I was the one who should have been crying, but it was Sammy who had tears running down her face. Don't cry, Sammy. I love her too, you know. Yeah, I know. And Sam did love her. She had a lot of empathy. Maybe that's why she liked all those bad boys. They were outcasts. It was like she was picking up strays and taking them in. It's like she could see past their rough exteriors and see the parts of them that hurt. Maybe she thought she could take away the hurt. She was wrong, of course. But I found it hard to fault her for her good heart. Sally, you know you're going to have to be a man about this, don't you? I don't think I know how to be a man, I said. It sucks, I know. But sooner or later... Yeah, sooner or later, I said. We were quiet for a long time. You want to throw the ball around? She smiled. Yeah, I think that sounds like a great idea. We did that, Sam and I. We'd take out the baseball gloves and play catch. One of the great things about Sam was that she didn't throw like a girl. She had a good arm, and she knew how to handle a ball. My dad taught her that. He taught both of us. You know, for a gay guy, my dad was pretty straight. We tossed the ball around until twilight. Sam and I didn't always talk when we played catch. It was like we could be together and be alone all at the same time. After we put the gloves away, I told her about Fito. Did you know he was gay? No, but I've seen him and Angel together, and I thought it was kind of an odd pair. I mean, Angel's such a pretty boy, and Fito's such a schizophrenic dork. I mean, they don't make a good couple. Like, you really know. You don't like Fito. Look, I like him better now that I know he's gay. That makes no sense. It makes perfect sense. In your world, I guess so. He's just a guy, Sammy. A lost soul. I like him. Oh, so you're into picking up strays. No, Sam, that would be your specialty. I gave her a look. I don't want to have this discussion. I know you don't. Then you'd have to explain your obsession with bad boys. I don't have to explain anything to anyone. Wrong. Sometimes you have to explain things to yourself. Look who's talking. Touché. Sam laughed. Well, now that we've agreed not to talk about what really matters, what shall we talk about next? I shrugged. But then she said, you know the other day when you showed up at my door and there was something going on with you, and I let you off the hook by changing the subject to my shoes? Yeah, and? What happened? Sam. She really knew me. I punched a guy in the stomach, I said. Like it was nothing. What? You heard me. Why? He called me a pinche gringo, and I just... Hell, I punched him. What's that about, Sally? You planning on becoming a boxer? I don't want to talk about it. She was wearing a question on her face, but she didn't say anything. I walked her home. That was my dad's idea. He said he didn't like the idea of Sam walking by herself at night.
You never know, he said.
Sometimes I thought he cared more about Sam than her own mother did. As we were standing in front of Sam's front door, she looked at me and said, There's something different about you, Sally. I shrugged. You're a lot more complicated than I thought you were. I didn't know why I was hanging my head. She put her hand on my chin and gently raised my head and looked straight into my eyes. Whatever it is that's going through that pretty little head of yours, well, you can't hide it from me. I didn't say a word. She kissed me on the cheek, and then she said, I'll love you till the day I die, Sally. I cried all the way home. What if? Sam and I had this game. I think it started as a cell phone game when we both got phones in the ninth grade. The game was called What If? We'd be talking or texting, and one of us would say something like, What if hummingbirds lost their wings? And the other person would have to think of an answer that began with, Then. In fact, that was one of the first questions I texted Sam. What if hummingbirds lost their wings? We had 24 hours to come back with an answer, and it took her precisely 10 hours and 7 minutes to text me back. Then it would rain for days, and the world would know the rage of the grieving sky. I mean, it took her a while to get back to me, but her answer was brilliant. At least I thought it was. Once, when we were walking to school, I asked her, "What if we'd never met?" "Then we wouldn't be best friends."
"Not," I said. "Not" meant that the answer was unacceptable. You only got 3 nots and you were out. Like in baseball.
"You shit."
She hated getting knotted.
Then she smiled.
I knew she'd come up with something.
"If we'd never met, then there would be only 3 seasons.
"Hmm," I said. "Am I supposed to guess which season?"
"Yep."
I thought for a moment, then I smiled. "Spring." "Then there would be no spring."
"Spring,"
she said.
"Sometimes you're really, really awesome, Sam."
"You too," she said. It was a good game, but it was serious. Sometimes what-ifs could make us sad. And I thought, what if I hadn't punched Enrique? Then
what?
Then things would be the way they always were?
Not.
Things weren't going to be the way they were. Senior year, college, change. And what if Mima's cancer hadn't come back? Then I would have her forever. Not.
Dad and me in silence.
Dad called me on my cell. He was still at Mima's.
"You going out tonight?"
"Nah."
"Want pizza?"
"Yep."
"Eat in or out?"
"In. Let's watch a movie."
"Be there in an hour. Order the pizza."
As soon as I finished talking to my dad, Sam texted me. "Should I wear red or black?"
Me.
"Red."
"Out with Eddie?"
Sam.
"Jealous?"
Me.
"LOL, have fun." Sam. "I think I'll wear black." Me.
"That's what I'd wear if I were going out with him."
Sam.
"Don't be a shit."
Me.
"Try and be good."
Sam.
"You are no fun."
Me. "Fun is overrated."
Sam.
"Get a girlfriend."
Me. "Been there, done that."
Sam.
Try again. Oh, gotta go.
Sam, she always had to have a guy. Me, well, the last girl I was with, she was all about me. I sort of felt like she'd been in a race and I was the trophy she'd won. I was way into her. Way, way into her. Turns out she was also seeing some guy who went to Cathedral High School. Her nice way of dumping me was by telling me, "You know, Sal, you're just way too smart for me."
Melissa. That was her name.
She liked your guys dumb and good-looking. Not that I was ugly. It's just that, well, Melissa needed to be the smart one in a relationship.
Do we have relationships in high school?
Maybe so. Anyway, I'm not into playing dumb, and besides, she hated Sam. And before Melissa, there was Yolanda. She told me it was either her or Sam.
"Sam?"
I said. "I've known her since I was 5. We're just friends." She dropped me like a water balloon. I went splat. I'm not sure what I was looking for in a girl. Some guys just wanted sex. Not that I didn't want sex, but, well, that wasn't happening for me. Not yet. Well, there was always hope. Sam had this to say about my dating behavior. "You're way too invested in your identity as a good boy."
Shit. I couldn't pull off the bad boy thing. I did think Jeff Buckley singing Hallelujah was badass. Didn't that count for something? And I wasn't a good boy. Not a real good boy. And what was that whole good boy, bad boy thing anyway? What did any of it mean? My dad was a little low-key when he got back.
Your Aunt Evie and I are taking Mima to the Mayo Clinic.
Where's that? I said.
In Scottsdale.
Scottsdale?
It's a suburb of Phoenix. It's about 7 hours from here, if you're driving.
I nodded. When?
Day after tomorrow.
That's soon, I said.
Time is something we don't have, he said.
He had a can-we-talk-about-this-in-the-morning look on his face. Some days I gave that same look to him. Guess he was entitled. We ate pizza and watched an old movie, To Kill a Mockingbird. Dad loved old movies. He liked Gregory Peck. Definitely old school. Nobody at El Paso High even knew who Gregory Peck was. Well, except for Sam. She was all about movie trivia. That had been one of her phases, between her hummingbird phase and her famous architect's phase. Then back to hummingbirds. She was currently in her shoe phase. For a while before that, she'd worn only flip-flops and tennis shoes. I thought the shoe phase was probably here to stay. It was a quiet night. Before I went to bed, I asked Dad, "Are we still making lunch for Mima tomorrow?"
"Well, we're going over. But your Mima said nobody was going to cook in her kitchen except her."
We both smiled. That's how she loved people, by feeding them. Before I went to bed, I studied a photograph of Mima and me. We were sitting on her front porch, and we were both laughing at something. All the pictures I had of Mima and me together were happy pictures. I wondered if happiness would go away when she died. But maybe she wouldn't die. Maybe she wouldn't. I opened my laptop and looked up the Mayo Clinic. It seemed as if those people knew what they were doing. And then I looked up cancer. Serious business. But I had no idea what stage Mima's cancer was in. Stage one, lots of hope. Stage four, not so much. Not that I was about to throw hope out the window. I didn't consider myself a very serious Catholic. I mean, my dad was gay and the Catholic Church was not big on gay people. Guess you could say I held a grudge even if my father didn't. But Mima and the Catholic Church got along just fine. I took out my rosary and prayed. Mima had given it to me when I made my first communion. So I prayed. Maybe it would help. Sam. When my cell phone rang, I was still clutching my rosary. My phone kept ringing and ringing, but by the time I found it in my pants pocket, it had stopped. Maggie was growling. She hated cell phones. I looked at the time. 1:17 a.m. The call had been from Sam. Then the phone rang again.
Sam?
Oh, God, she said. Sally, Sally, Sally. She was sobbing into her phone.
Sammy, where are you? What's wrong?
Finally, she calmed down enough to spit out, "Can you come get me?"
"Where are you?"
She started crying again.
"Where are you, Sam?"
I think I was almost yelling.
"Where are you? Where are you?"
"I'm just outside the Walgreens."
"Which Walgreens, Sam? Shit, which one?"
I was getting scared.
"Are you hurt, Sam? Are you hurt?"
"Just come get me, Sally." God, she sounded hurt. Sam, Sam, are you okay? She was crying again. Sam, hang on, Sam. Don't go anywhere, I'll be right there. Just hang on.
Part 2. We'd been so sure of ourselves, but now we were lost. Sometimes in the night.
Dad? Dad!
I was glad he was a light sleeper.
What's wrong?
It's Sam.
He reached over and turned on the lamp on his nightstand.
Is she okay?
I don't know. She couldn't stop crying. She sounds really scared.
Where is she?
Walgreens.
I'm driving.
I didn't argue with him. She was sitting on the sidewalk, her head down. My dad saw her as soon as we drove up. Walgreens wasn't exactly crowded at that hour of the morning. He jumped out of the car and I was right behind him.
Sam?
She ran into his arms, sobbing. Dad put his arms around her.
Shh, it's okay. I got you, Sam. I got you.
Sam and I sat in the back seat as my dad drove. I squeezed her hand. She'd stopped crying, but she was still shaking, almost as if she was cold. I pulled her closer and I could feel her shivering against my shoulder.
Do we need to take you to the hospital?
I knew my dad had thought carefully about what questions to ask and what questions not to ask.
No.
She whispered.
You sure?
I'm sure.
Where's your mother?
She's on a date. She turns her phone off.
You sure you don't need to go to a hospital?
Yes. Just take me home.
No one said anything as we drove. When my dad parked in front of Sam's house, he got out of the car.
I need to talk to your mother.
I don't think she's home.
Her car's there.
Yeah, but Daniel picked her up.
Maybe she's home.
My dad was insistent. It turned out that Sam was right. No one was home.
I don't think it's a good idea that you stay here alone tonight.
I could tell that Sam was relieved. She got some things together and we drove back home. Dad made tea. He sat us both down at the kitchen table.
You want to talk about what happened?
Sam didn't say anything.
I know I'm not your dad, Samantha. But there are certain things you can't keep from the adults around you. Adults who care about you.
Sam nodded.
You don't have to tell me. But in the morning when your mother comes to get you, you're going to have to tell her what happened.
Look at you. You're still shaking.
How did your blouse get torn?
She shook her head. I don't want to tell my mom.
I don't think that's an option, Sam. I really don't.
There was so much kindness in my father's firm voice that I almost wanted to break down and cry. But I was angry, too. Mad as hell. I wanted to get in the car, find Eddie, and beat the holy hell out of him. Sam looked up at my father.
I'm sorry I'm such a pain in the ass.
My dad smiled at her.
That's part of your charm.
She laughed, then started crying again.
Let's all try to get some rest.
All the words inside us had gone to sleep. So we didn't talk. Sam fell asleep on my bed right next to Maggie. We had an extra bedroom, but she didn't much feel like being alone. I'd always done the alone thing much better than Sam. I was on the floor in my sleeping bag, unable to sleep. I kept wondering what had happened. It wasn't like her to be so quiet about things.
And then I started thinking about what Dad was going to tell Sylvia. He'd had chats with her before. Lots of them. That's what Dad called them, chats. Yeah. And then, all of a sudden, a river of rage shot right through me. I hated Eddie. I hated that son of a bitch, and I wanted to hurt him. And then I thought, I wish I were more like my dad. My dad wasn't the kind of guy who'd ever taken out his fists to solve a problem. But I wasn't like him. And he was an artist. I had no art in me. And then I thought that I must be more like my biological father, the man who'd slept with my mother one night. And I hated that thought. God, I wanted to stop all those thoughts that were turning around in my mind like a gerbil running on his little wheel. Finally, I just got up. 3:12 in the morning. I walked into the kitchen to get a glass of water. My dad was on the back steps, smoking a cigarette. I sat next to him. How many cigarettes is that today, Dad?
Too many, Sally. Too many.
Sam and her mother. I managed to push open my eyes when I woke up. Some days you really have to push. I looked at the clock. It was already past 10 o'clock in the morning. My bed was empty. Sam was up. I was carrying this feeling in the pit of my stomach. This much I knew. It wasn't going to be a normal day. But I had a feeling that normal days were disappearing. I managed to stumble into the bathroom and wash my face and brush my teeth. I could hear the water running in the guest bathroom, so I knew Sam was taking a shower. Sam and her showers. She'd take 3 a day if you gave her half a chance. She had this thing about being clean. I wondered if she felt dirty. Not that she was dirty, but some people felt that way about themselves. Sometimes I felt that way about myself, too. Like when I hit people. I walked toward the kitchen, but stopped myself. My dad and Mrs. Diaz, aka Sylvia, were having a chat. Dad coming as close to lecturing someone as he got. I could have stood there and listened in on the conversation, but that wasn't my style. So I took a breath and walked into the kitchen. Morning, I said. I grabbed a cup and poured myself some coffee. Dad and Mrs. Diaz had stopped talking, and I knew this was one of those uncomfortable silences. I decided to seize the moment. Sam didn't tell me anything about what happened, just for the record. Surely you must have some notion of what must have occurred. Mrs. Diaz had a deep voice. Sam always said she sounded like the old actress Lauren Bacall. I shook my head. I wanted to tell her that I had my theories, but that's all they were. No, I said.
She didn't say anything to you?
No, she didn't. We all turned around and looked at Sam. She crossed her arms. I'll give you the short version and spare you the details. I was at a party with Eddie. He wanted me to go into one of the bedrooms and have sex with him. I think he wanted everyone to know that he could have me. That's what I think. She looked at her mother. And yes, I'd been drinking, but I wasn't that drunk. Last night she'd been scared and lost, but now she was just angry. Any questions?
You could have been raped, Samantha.
I couldn't tell if Mrs. Diaz was angry at Sam, or angry at Eddie, or just angry at the whole situation.
Yeah, I could have been.
I didn't raise you to make stupid choices.
Sam interrupted her mother.
Mom, you didn't raise me at all. I raised myself.
She gave her mom a look.
I mean, she gave her a look. I'm going to go dry my hair. I'm taking you home right now. By the time Mrs. Diaz's words were up in the air, Samantha was leaving the room. How dare you walk out on me, young lady! Sam swung herself around and looked straight at her mother. I thought she was going to yell at her, but she didn't. Did anyone ever tell you that you talk in clichés? She took a deep breath and shook her head. You're never there, Mom. You've never been there. I realized that Sam wasn't angry at all. She was hurt. At that moment, I heard all the hurt she'd ever held. And it seemed to me that the whole house had quieted down to listen to her pain. But I looked at Mrs. Diaz, and just then I understood that her daughter was a book she didn't know how to read. Her own daughter. She had an expression on her face that looked almost like hate. You ungrateful, spoiled child. She got up from where she was sitting at the kitchen table and looked right at my father. I'm sure you think that I'm to blame. Then she pointed her eyes toward Sam. Do whatever the hell you want. You always have. She headed for the front door. My father followed her out. Sam and I just stood there, not knowing what to do. Finally, I said, I'm sorry, Sam. I'm really, really sorry. This is all my fault, she said. What's all your fault? I said. Everything. I wanted to tell her that I hated Eddie, and that I hated her mother. Really hated them. But I didn't think I should say anything. I heard my dad and Mrs. Diaz talking on the front porch. I could hear Mrs. Diaz raise her voice, and I could also tell that my dad was trying to calm her down. Everything is not your fault. It'll all be okay, Sam. I wasn't sure that everything was going to be all right, but I said it anyway. I gave her a crooked smile. Want some coffee? She nodded. We sat at the kitchen table and had coffee. The muffled conversation between her mother and my father in the distance. I looked at her and said, Everything is not your fault, Sam. I wanted her to believe me. And yeah, that urge to beat Eddie until he couldn't walk was like a monster growing inside me. I was glad I didn't know where he lived. Sam. Promises. Before Dad and I left for our 45-minute drive to Las Cruces to see Mima, I texted Sam. You okay? She texted me back. It sucks being me. Me. Don't say that. Sam. Sorry about everything. Me. No worries. Sam. You still love me? Me. Always. Smiley face. Sam. I am done with bad boys. Me. Sam. I said I was done. Me. Promise? She didn't text me back. One thing about Samantha, she didn't make promises she couldn't keep. She was like my dad in that way. There was a big difference, though. Sam hardly ever made any promises. That way her conscience was clear. Me and Dad talking. We took the back roads to Las Cruces. Sometimes we did that. Much better than driving I-10. I wanted to ask Dad about his conversation with Mrs. Diaz, so I tried an indirect approach. Dad, do you like Mrs. Diaz?
That's an interesting question.
That's an interesting answer.
My dad grinned.
It's not whether I like her or not that's important.
I knew he was thinking. He was trying too hard to focus on the road.
Sylvia and I are friends.
Really?
Yeah, we are. It's not that we really get along, but we learned a long time ago that as long as you and Sam were friends, well, we were stuck with each other. We both respect your friendship.
But do you think she's a good mother?
I think you already know the answer to that question.
It makes you mad, doesn't it? That she's so absent?
Yes, it does. But there's nothing I can do about it. I can't tell Sylvia how to raise her own daughter. It's none of my business.
That's not true, I said. You love Sam, don't you?
I've known her since she was 5. Of course I love her.
The only reason you love her is because you've known her since she was 5?
Of course not. I love Sam for a lot of reasons, but I'm not her father.
You kinda are, Dad.
He shook his head, but I could see him grinning.
But I could also tell he was a little frustrated.
Look, I've always told Sylvia what I think. Always. Sylvia hasn't always appreciated my opinions. But she knows I care for Sam and that I care very much what happens to her. She appreciates that. She more than appreciates it. And she knows that when Sam is at our place, she's safe. And she's grateful for that.
She has a funny way of showing her gratitude.
She's hard, Salvi. She's been through a lot.
I nodded.
Okay, I said.
But I don't like her. I know you don't. You don't think she really loves Sam. But she does. Everybody doesn't love in the same way, Salvi. And just because she doesn't love Sam the way you or I would like her to, doesn't mean she doesn't love her daughter. It's very difficult being a single mom.
Oh, and it's so easy being a single dad.
I'm not complaining.
I didn't know what to say after that. And I didn't even get to the part of what their conversation on our front porch had been about. Shit.
Dad and I were quiet for a while. I looked out at the autumn fields. If it weren't for the river, the whole area would have been nothing but desert. But the river brought water to the fields and turned the landscape into a fertile valley. And I thought, my dad, he is like the river. He brought water to a lot of people. Mostly to me, but also to Sam.
The Story of Mima and Me.
Sam once said, "We are what we like." My response? "Does that mean you're a pair of shoes?" It sort of shut down the conversation. But I knew what she was getting at. I didn't know why that popped into my head as we were driving up to Mima's house. I texted Sam. "We are what we remember." Sam. "Good one." Me. Mima said that. Sam. "Knew it was too smart to be yours."
"Get that out of your system before we go inside."
Dad hated when I texted in other people's presence. It was the whole raised by wolves thing. Me.
"Laters."
Sam. "Dad on your ass? LOL. Laters." I showed my cell to my dad, smiled, and put it in my pocket. "Happy now?"
"Very."
Mima was sitting on the front porch dressed in a flowered pink dress and surrounded by the flowers in her garden. Roses, geraniums, and others I didn't know the names of. In another few weeks, the flowers would be gone. When I reached out to her, she felt so small. I could feel her bones against her thin, aging body.
You didn't call me this week, Malcriado.
She always called me Malcriado when I didn't call her. It meant I hadn't been brought up properly. Yeah, yeah, wolves. I laughed.
I love you, I whispered.
We were pretty much an I love you family, especially with Mima.
Mijito, she said, are you taller?
Probably. She wrapped her hands around my face and looked into my eyes. Her hands were old, but they were the softest, kindest hands that had ever touched me. She didn't say anything. She just smiled. Dad watched us. I always wondered what he was thinking when he saw Mima and me together. Good things. I knew he was thinking good things. I was sitting at the kitchen table. Mima didn't seem sick. Well, she looked a little tired, but there she was, rolling out flour tortillas, and there I sat across from her, watching her. My uncles and aunts were watching a football game in the living room. Mostly my aunts talked, and my uncles were lost in a sea of Dallas Cowboys uniforms. A Cowboys family. My dad and I weren't much for football. Dad read the sports page. My theory was that he kept up with the sports world in order to be able to have a decent conversation with his brothers. That was the way he loved them. I watched Mima's hands as she kneaded the dough. She smiled at me.
You like to watch me make tortillas?
I nodded. Remember that day when I was mad at Conrad Franco?
Yes, I remember. You told me you hated him.
And you said, oh, mijito, you don't hate anybody. And I said, yes, I do. She laughed. Do you remember what you told me?
I remember, she said. I told you that there were only two things you needed to learn in life. You needed to learn how to forgive, and you needed to learn how to be happy.
I am happy, Mima. I was lying to her, but not all lies were bad.
That means you've learned to forgive.
Maybe not. I didn't say anything about wanting to go around punching guys' lights out. She grinned as she rolled out a perfectly round tortilla. How did she do that? She put the tortilla on the comal. I was ready with the butter. She always gave me the first tortilla, and I'd slather it with butter and wolf it down.
Ay, Salvador, did you even taste it?
We both started laughing. Laughing was part of the way we talked. I could hear my uncles cheering about something, and Mima and I looked at each other.
I hate football, she said.
Popo loved football.
And he loved baseball. He didn't have to talk to anybody when he was watching his games.
She shook her head.
Your Popo didn't know how to talk to people.
He liked talking to dogs.
That's true.
Do you miss him?
Of course I do.
I miss him too. I miss his cussing. She smiled and shook her head again.
Ave Maria Purissima. Your Popo never met a bad word he didn't like. He knew every bad word in two languages and used almost all of them every day of his life. He fooled me, you know. He never said one bad word around me when we were dating. Oh boy, was I in for a surprise. But he went to Mass every Sunday.
I don't think God minded that he liked to cuss.
Don't get any ideas.
I like ideas, I said. She said.
I said.
I like the thing. Dad got that from her. And I got it from him. Maybe a part of me was old school, too.
¿Cómo te quería tu popo?
Yeah, I know. But he had a funny way of loving people, didn't he?
You know, when I met him, I thought he was so beautiful.
Maybe it was you who was beautiful, Mima.
You know, you're a lot like your father.
Not really, Mima.
Jess, you are.
I wasn't going to argue with her. And then she said,
You like to talk, just like Vicente.
Yeah. He's good that way, Dad. He talks about things that matter.
She nodded. He should have become a writer.
Why didn't he?
He said there were too many words in the world already.
I nodded. He's right about that.
Yes, she said.
Creo que sí. Dad, he's more like you. He's not like Popo at all.
That's right. I loved your Popo. But there's enough men like him in the world already.
She laughed.
I mean, your Mima's mean.
No, I said.
You're sweet, dulce Mima. That's what you are.
She stopped rolling out tortillas and looked at me. I looked back at her, and then I said, Are you afraid, Mima?
No, she said. I'm not afraid.
I didn't know I was going to start crying. She put down her old rolling pin and sat next to me.
Maybe they'll take the cancer away at the Mayo Clinic.
I couldn't understand how she could be so calm. If I were dying, I would be really sad and pissed off. And I was pissed off. I was pissed off as hell. She held me in her arms. I wanted to hold on to her and never let go. But I was going to have to let go, and that hurt. Why does it hurt when you love someone? What is it with the human heart? What was it with my heart? I wondered if there was a way to keep her in this world forever. And it was as though she were reading my mind.
No one is meant to live forever, she whispered.
Only God lives forever.
Do you see these hands? Hands get old. That's the way it's supposed to be, mijito. Even the heart gets old.
She let me go and went back to her work. She handed me another warm tortilla.
This will make everything better.
She watched me slather butter onto the fresh tortilla.
You have big hands, she said. Your popo had big hands.
She nodded. I knew that nod. It was her nod of approval.
You're turning into a man.
I didn't feel like a man just then. I felt like a 5-year-old boy who didn't want to do anything except play in a pile of leaves. A 5-year-old boy with a greedy heart who wanted his grandmother to live forever. My uncles and aunts and cigarettes. Watching my uncles and aunts was much better than watching the Kardashians. Not that I liked watching the Kardashians. I only watched because Sam wouldn't shut up about them. I sometimes joined the conversation, but mostly I listened. Mima was taking a nap, and everyone was sitting around the television, watching the Dallas Cowboys game. My Uncle Mickey was about to light a cigarette. Aunt Evie shot him a look.
Take it outside.
I'm watching the game.
Ah, a multitasker. Take it outside. Your mother's sick, idiot.
Aunt Evie liked that word. Idiot. Uncle Mickey headed out the front door, cigarette and beer in hand. I was raised in a family of smokers. For the most part, I didn't much care for cigarette smoke. Not that it kept me from liking my uncles and aunts. Uncle Mickey said that smokers were more interesting than non-smokers. Aunt Evie told me not to listen to my Uncle Mickey. He's an idiot. She never sounded mean when she said things like that. I wondered how she managed it. Maybe it was because she was really sweet. Everyone loved her. My Uncle Tony said that Evie was Mima with a potty mouth.
She got the potty mouth from Popo. I thought that sounded about right. And my Aunt Lulu, well, she was the only one who didn't smoke. And she didn't drink beer either.
She and my dad, they were wine drinkers. They were also the only ones who went to college. Uncle Mickey said that going to college turned you into a snob. My dad usually just listened to his brother's talk, without adding his own commentary. I walked out the door and joined Uncle Mickey on the front porch.
So, Vato, you gonna graduate or what?
Or what? I said.
You're a wise ass.
Yep, I said. I really liked my Uncle Mickey. He had long hair and a goatee, and the straightest teeth I'd ever seen. His skin was weathered from working in the sun, and he didn't seem to give a damn about what anyone thought about him. He was tall and had tattoos, and a lot of people were afraid of him. But he was really a sweet guy. When I was a kid, he used to pick me up, and I thought I could see the whole world as I sat on his shoulders. And he was always sneaking bills into my hand. Ones, fives, tens, twenties. His way of loving me. When are you going to quit smoking those things? I asked.
When I fucking die?
He laughed. My uncles loved using the F word. Dad said they threw that word around like it was a football. That was his way of saying that just because my uncles loved that word didn't mean I had permission to throw it around the house. Nope. I sat there next to him, not saying much.
You're like your dad, Uncle Mickey said. You like to sit and think too much.
Well, I was just thinking that if you quit smoking, you'd live longer. You know, you could stick around and put more bills in my pocket.
He grinned at me. So, cabrón, the only reason you want me to live longer is so I can give you more money.
Nope, I said. I want you to live longer because I effing love you.
You can say fuck around me.
I know. He rubbed his knuckle against my head. He'd always done that. Dad was right. Everybody had their own way of loving.
I'm proud of you, he said. You're a good kid. You're gonna be somebody.
We're all somebody. That's what I thought. I walked back into the living room. The game was over. The Cowboys lost, which didn't put anybody in a good mood. Dad was talking to my Uncle Julian on the phone, and he had a serious look on his face. Uncle Julian and my dad, they were really close, even though Uncle Julian was a lot older. Dad shut off his phone, and my uncles and aunts just looked at him like, what did he say?
Julian agrees with me.
Uncle Tony looked a little disgusted.
Well, that's a fucking surprise, Vicente. Look, Tony, don't start.
My Aunt Evie looked at Uncle Tony and said, no more beers for you. Uncle Tony shook his head. He pointed at my father.
Why does he always have to be in charge?
My dad had this very patient look on his face.
Nobody's in charge, Tony. We're all in charge.
Uncle Tony put a cigarette in his mouth, but didn't light it.
What's the mayo gonna do? Not a damn thing. Pinche gringo doctors don't know shit.
Aunt Lulu did the crossing her arms thing. That's not true, and they're not all gringos. There are good doctors, and there are bad doctors. Mom needs to go to the mayo. And then my dad made an announcement using his firm voice.
Evie and I are taking her. And that's all there is to it. I've already scheduled her appointment. We have to be there on Wednesday.
Uncle Tony didn't seem very happy.
And then what, Vicente?
Aunt Evie wasn't hiding her impatience with Uncle Tony.
Like he knows. We don't know. We have to find out what's going on in Mom's body.
Uncle Tony took the unlit cigarette out of his mouth.
And what about your classes? Or don't art professors have to show up for work?
My dad gave him a snarky smile.
Only when we want to.
Uncle Tony was quiet for a little while. Then he said,
"Sorry. I didn't mean..."
"I know,"
my dad said.
Somewhere along the line, Uncle Mickey had walked back into the living room.
"How long will she be there?"
"I don't know," Dad said. "We'll just have to see."
Uncle Mickey had this strange look on his face.
"Well, just don't let her fucking die there."
Everyone was quiet for a long time. Then my dad said,
"Mickey, we're not going to let her die there."
Aunt Lulu looked at Uncle Mickey. "We don't know that she's dying."
"You're right," Dad said. "There'll be tests, and then we're bringing her back. We just have to know what's going on."
Uncle Mickey nodded. And then he looked at my dad and whispered,
"At least you know how to talk to doctors. You're good for something, puto."
And then everyone in the room started laughing. My dad and my uncles and aunts. If there's one thing they knew how to do, it was laugh. My dad called that sort of behavior whistling in the dark. Well, I guess that when you found yourself in the dark, you might as well whistle. It wasn't always going to be morning, and darkness would come around again. The sun would rise, and then the sun would set. And there you were in the darkness again. If you didn't whistle, the quiet and the dark would swallow you up. The thing is, I didn't know how to whistle. I guessed I was going to have to learn.
WFTD equals prayer.
I walked past Mima's room and noticed that the door was halfway open. I peeked in, the way I'd always done since I was a kid. She was awake and praying her rosary. She motioned me to come in, patting the bed. I sat next to her. She brushed her hand across my arm.
"You're strong," she said.
I didn't believe her, but I nodded.
"Who are you praying for?" I whispered. "Your Uncle Mickey."
"He needs prayers," I said. She smiled and nodded.
"We all need prayers."
She shut her eyes and continued praying. I listened to her whispers and my mind wandered. I was getting worse about the thinking thing. See, if you wanted to pray, you had to focus. Thinking wasn't prayer. I knew that much. I'd never been able to focus and keep all the thoughts away. Maybe prayers were too old school for me. My dad said that when he was a kid, he wanted to be Saint Francis. And then he found out he didn't have it in him. I didn't know yet what I did and did not have in me, but St. Francis wasn't in the cards for me either. As Mima prayed, I closed my eyes. I told God that I needed Mima a lot more than he did. "You already have more than your fair share." I wondered if Mima would approve of my prayer. Probably not. She would have told me that I was a malcriado. I thought that later I would text Sam, WFTD equals prayer. I wondered if it was normal for guys my age to be thinking about prayer. Maybe it was.